Have you ever had an eye-opening experience? You know, those times when you can look back and consider a problem and say, yes, that's it. I can see it now. You have? I can see a few heads doing this. That's good. I had one a few years ago. It was when I left the Royal Children's Hospital. And as I left there, I was a little bit devastated that I wasn't staying there. As a chaplain, yep. Yeah, I wasn't a patient. I was a bit old for that. And after a few weeks, I went and saw the chaplain coordinator at the Northern Hospital and said, Kate, I'd love a job, please. And she says, all right, start on Monday. And after a few weeks, she said, Keith, what have we got to do to keep you here? I said, Kate, it's not going to happen. She said, why not? I said, well, I'm getting paid by the Chaplaincy Committee of the Presbyterian Church, and it's for ministry to kids in hospitals in Victoria. She said, so? She said, we've got a children's ward here. Couldn't you work here? Yeah. And she said, what about down at Sunshine Hospital? They've got a children's ward. Couldn't you go down there as well? I said, yeah. So she and the Presbyterian Church and the lawyers got together, and pretty soon I had another job at the Northern and Sunshine Hospitals as a chaplain. But through all of this, God was working. And he was working to have somebody trained to take my job at the Children's Hospital. He was also raising up a couple of other people, unbeknownst to me, that I wasn't going to stay at those two hospitals very long. But he was raising up two other people to take my places there. And so as I look back on my departure from the Children's Hospital, I realised, not just me, but it was God saying to me, God saying to the Chaplaincy Committee, saying to the Presbyterian Church of Victoria, wake up, people, open your eyes. There are more kids in hospital than just those in the children's hospital. And so the penny dropped, the lights went on. It was good to realise. And also good for my ego, you know. The work that I used to do is now being done by three people. I think that's pretty good. Eye-opening experiences, they're wonderful things. Why? And this is what I want to propose to you today is this. Eye-opening experiences, like they did for me, they excite us. Eye-opening experiences stimulate our faith because we can say, hey, God was in this, God was working. And eye-opening experiences are great, because they make us broaden our horizons. They make us think outside the box. Make us dream dreams of great possibilities. Think about our Bible reading this morning. Jesus heals a leprous man. I really think in this story it would have been an eye-opening experience for the people who witnessed it. Think about it, how their eyes were opened to certain things. Because today in the 21st century, as people consider this miracle and its implications, they should discover three eye-opening elements. and they should discover several wonders revealed about the kingdom of God. Now, whenever we read the scriptures, we ought to pray a little prayer. And many years ago, when we attended, me and my brothers attended Beach Mission, we were taught to memorise a few Bible verses, and one that we were taught was Psalm 119, verse 18. Righto, say it together. You didn't go to Beach Mission. You missed out on something wonderful. Psalm 119, verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Perhaps we can paraphrase that a little bit to something like, open my eyes that I may recognise the wonderful things revealed in your word. You know, so often we read the scriptures and we just, oh yeah, I've heard that story before. And we don't really think about it. We don't really ask God to open our eyes so that we can see these wonderful things in his word. That's what I want us to do today. Consider this story of this leprous man being healed and discovering those three eye-opening elements within the story. And the first one is this, that I want to say to you, is that Jesus accepts people with faith in him. I struggled a bit to which verb I was going to use in this statement. What verb would you use? I wrote down accepts because Jesus uses it quite often. You know, the one who accepts you accepts me. The one who accepts me accepts the one who sent me, which is God the Father. Now, he uses the word accepts, but I'm just a little bit not really happy with it. And I thought maybe we could use the word receives. No, I wasn't really happy with that. I think I prefer the word welcome. Jesus welcomes those who come to him. Just think about it. There he was that day, crowds all around him, and this bloke with leprosy comes towards him. What do you think would have happened on Jesus' face? I reckon he would have had a big, bright, happy smile as he saw this leper coming towards him, because he knew what this bloke wanted. He is, after all, God. And this leper comes, falls flat on his face in front of him, and expresses his faith this way. Sir, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Can you think of a better statement of faith in Jesus than that? He knew about Jesus' ability. He knew about Jesus' power. We don't know how he knew. Somehow he had heard that Jesus had the ability to cure people of all sorts of maladies. He had no doubts that Jesus had the ability to cure him of his leprosy. His only concern was that Jesus might not be willing to help him. Hence, if you are willing. He realised that he had nothing to lose. He had everything to gain. So he fought his way, putting up with all the insults, all the abuse from the crowd. He fought his way through the crowd in an endeavour to be cured. And here, I think, is a wonderful lesson for everybody to learn, to have their eyes opened. Some people think that they are too gross, or that their sins are too horrific, and that they could not possibly be able to come to Jesus for healing, for cleansing. But learn this. There is nothing too gross about us that Jesus will find unacceptable. He welcomes all, that is, everyone who comes to him in faith. And just remember, that amount of faith doesn't have to be very large. And Jesus gives us that fantastic promise that we had with the children before. Come on, say it together. John. Well, that wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. I hope you can do better at lunch. Jesus says, whoever comes to me. Who's excluded in that whoever? Nobody. Whoever comes to me, I will never reject. I will never send away, but I will welcome them. You know, that's a wonderful thing for people to know, to learn, to have their eyes open, to see it. It's a great thing. The second thing I want us to, the eye-opening elements in this is that Jesus always shows grace and compassion. Jesus was well aware of the requirements concerning of the law concerning lepers and leprosy. He knew that that leper should not have been anywhere near him. He knew that that leper should not have been in that crowd. He should have had his clothes over his mouth, you know, hiding it. He should have been shouting, unclean, unclean. He shouldn't have been there falling on his face at Jesus' feet and daring to speak to him and saying, sir, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus also knew he was not supposed to touch this man. But in Jesus' action, we see grace and compassion in practice. What had this man experienced? Jesus knew what he had experienced. He experienced loneliness. He had to live outside the village, out in the wilderness. He had experienced rejection. He'd experienced ostracism. He'd experienced unacceptance by his family, his friends, his community. He'd experienced being barred from attendance at the temple and the synagogue. He'd experienced not being able to participate in the fabulous events of his day in the Passover. All because he had leprosy. Leprosy was a dreaded condition. Jesus knew too what this man craved. Just think, what would you want if you were shut out, away from family and friends, that you couldn't participate in those wonderful celebrations that we have? This man craved acceptance, welcome, and to be touched. Just think of, well, I've read about AIDS patients. You know, one of the things that they crave most is being touched by another human being. That's what this leper was feeling like. I've been rejected. I've been declared unclean. What does unclean mean? Can't you remember? Now, that's a little part of the meaning. Where is it first mentioned in the scriptures? Ever heard of a bloke who built a boat? He built this big tub. What did he take into it? Animals. How many? What sort? Clean and unclean. How many unclean animals went in? Two of each kind. The clean animals, how many went in? Seven pairs. Right? What were the clean animals? They were the ones that were suitable for eating, suitable for sacrifice. Okay? If something was unclean, wasn't supposed to be eaten, it wasn't fit for human consumption, it wasn't acceptable as a sacrifice to God. Only that which was clean. And for a person to be declared unclean meant what? They were excluded. They were shut out from God's community. They weren't allowed in the synagogue. They weren't allowed to partake of Passover. Anybody who was unclean for any reason. That's what this man felt. He wanted once again to be welcome. He wanted to be acceptable by God and man. Jesus knew what this man wanted. So with that big beaming smile still on his face, he stretched out his hand to this man and says, "I am willing, be clean." Had you been there, what would you have heard as Jesus did that? As Jesus reaches, "Well done, Robin." Remember that beer ad on TV? Where the fellow says, "I don't like beer anymore." And what happens at the party? The music stops and everybody goes, and that's what it would have been like. Just imagine, you know, hundreds of people crowded around Jesus, and this leper comes up, and they see Jesus reach out his hand and put it on this bloke's head. Everybody would have gone, shock, horror. It just wasn't the done thing, was it? And don't just think that was limited to back then. What did people do, or what did people in Australia do to people who had leprosy? Didn't we shunt them off into leper colonies? I know there was one in Peel Island in Brisbane. They would have had them down here in Victoria as well. Leprosy was something that people just didn't want to know about. Didn't want them in society at all. And I just think it's fabulous for Jesus to reach his hand out in grace and compassion, fulfilling, meeting all those things that man craved for. Jesus reached out in gentleness, compassion, grace. And here he's showing that he is in fact the Messiah. He's fulfilling one of those messianic prophecies of the servant of Yahweh. I love it. I'm reading in Isaiah 42 where it talks about this Messiah. It says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out." He deals gently, compassionately, graciously with all who will come to him. And the welcome that Jesus shows here is a demonstration of his later declaration when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Those who come in faith to Jesus will always find a welcome and will find that he is gracious and compassionate. And the third eye-opening element in this little incident, Jesus says to the leper, as he's got his hand on his head, "Be cleansed, be clean." And at that instant, he was cured. How? I don't know. He was. The scripture says, and immediately, straight away, no delay for 10 seconds or 2 hours or whatever, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus says, okay, don't really make a big fuss about this, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer the prescribed offerings to show that you have been cleansed from leprosy. What's the implication of that? The implication is this, that the priest, presumably the first one who had made the diagnosis, who had pronounced him unclean, was now the one who would say, "You are clean. You are welcome back into society." And just imagine that priest putting his hand out to shake his hand and say, "Welcome back, mate." It's absolutely fantastic, isn't it? Would have been the priest's job to declare him clean, to welcome him back, to restore him into society, and to inform him of his right to attend the temple and the synagogue, to participate in the Passover. He was welcome once again at his children's birthday parties, and so on. What's amazing about this? The amazing thing in this story is that Jesus has the power to make that which is unacceptable acceptable. Acceptable both in the sight of God and mankind. And isn't that what Jesus does to all who come to him in faith? The leper in this story represents mankind in our fallen estate. We are not fit to be in God's presence. None of us. And so the psalmist could write later on, "Lord, who is acceptable? Who is acceptable?" And the answer he gives is, "He who has a clean heart," and so on, "who has not sworn falsehood," etc. You can read it yourself. None of us. All the very best that we can offer is, come on, Isaiah 64, filthy rags, fit only for the scrap heap. That's the very best that you and I can offer to God in and of ourselves. We are not acceptable. But Jesus demonstrates in this miracle that he has the power, he has the authority to make people acceptable to God. All it takes is faith and belief and trust in him. Because Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin. He died to appease God's wrath at our sin and rebellion. And so he makes all who believe in him acceptable to God. Isn't that a wonderful, eye-opening experience? No matter who we are, Jesus is the one who can make us acceptable to God. I said before that eye-opening experiences excite us. Well, I don't know about you, but I find this story very exciting. Eye-opening experiences stimulate our faith, our belief and our trust in Jesus. And they awaken us to great possibilities, to dream dreams, to think outside the square. So how does that apply? Can you think of things that stimulate you? It encourages me just to think about who we're not told about in the story. Those who were talking, and somehow the leper heard that this bloke called Jesus could help him. What does that encourage us to do? Well, when I was at Sunday school, we used to sing a hymn called Speak Just a Word for Jesus. You all know that one? You don't know that one? Oh, maybe next time I'm here we might have something like that. You know, you get me, you get, well, sometimes the unconventional. I think that this story, thinking about the people we're not told about, should encourage us to do that, to speak just a word for Jesus. Because we don't know who's listening. You know, perhaps this leper overheard somebody talking about Jesus when he snuck into a village one night when he wasn't supposed to be there. Maybe he needed a new coat and he went and pinched one off somebody's washing line. I don't know. And maybe he heard about Jesus that way. Maybe someone stood at a distance when they were bringing him food and said, hey, look, why don't you go and see this fellow called Jesus? We don't know under the circumstances on what when this fellow heard about Jesus. So the wonderful thing is that God will use those words. You know, you might be talking to a friend, having a coffee, and somebody at the next table might overhear what you say about Jesus. And they say, oh, I'll check him out. Speak just a word for Jesus. God can use our words in his own time, in his own way, to bring people to faith. And I think there's a few words we need to get out of our vocabularies. One's this leper bloke had to get out of his mind. What if he won't? What if he's not willing? What if he says, go away? And so there's an encouragement there for each and every one of us to think about for ourselves, for our friends, And to remember, no matter what you've done, no matter what you are, no matter what you've said, you will always find acceptance with Jesus. It's great for us to remember that there is nothing about us that Jesus will find unacceptable. And I love the words in the hymn. The vilest offender, just note that word, the vilest offender, who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. That's fantastic, isn't it? No matter who we are, no matter whether society finds us attractive or rejecting, unattractive or rejecting, no matter who we are, we can always come to Jesus. And I think that that ought to cause us to rejoice, shouldn't it? That Jesus makes that which is unacceptable acceptable. And that includes you and me. Isn't that great? We sang before about being at the Lord's table. Next week, what are we going to do? Be at the Lord's table. We're going to participate in that wonderful sacrament. Jesus makes the unacceptable acceptable. Okay, so what does that teach us about God's kingdom? Think about it. Jesus said he came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is here. What does this reveal to us about God's kingdom? Come on, tell me. It's the P word. Powerful. You know, often we just blasé read these words, the kingdom of God is here. Do you think about it? Do you rejoice in it? Here we have a complete revelation that the kingdom of God is powerful. It comes with power. In the next little couple of incidents in Matthew's gospel reveals that a bit more, that the kingdom of God has come among you. It's not something wishy-washy, airy-fairy, but it comes with power. And I think it probably excited Matthew to write this. Why do you think that? Well, why would I think it? Wasn't he telling his own story? What was Matthew in his former life? He was a tax collector. Were they welcome in good Jewish society? No. They were rejected. They were despised. And what did Jesus say to Matthew? Hey, Matthew, I welcome you. Come, follow me. Matthew too knew what it was like to be ostracized, to be vilified, to be rejected by his community, just like this leper did, just like you and me. Jesus accepts those who come to him in faith, and he has the power, the ability to make that which is unacceptable acceptable. The kingdom of God comes with power. And so as we celebrate next week, we rejoice in the power of the kingdom that Jesus makes us who are unacceptable, acceptable to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this small incident. Small in the sense that it only takes a few lines in the scriptures to record. but momentous in what it reveals to us about Jesus, about the kingdom of God. Lord, help us to rejoice in these things, not to lose heart, but to always remember that Jesus welcomes those who come to him in faith. He doesn't reject them. He doesn't say, go away. Lord, we thank you that we see Jesus responding in grace and in gentleness and compassion, meeting the cravings of that leprous man. Thank you, Lord, that he is gentle of heart. Thank you, Lord, that he will not snuff out a smouldering wick. Thank you, Lord, that he has great power, the power to make that which is unacceptable, acceptable. Thank you for our wonderful Saviour. Thank you for all he means to us. Amen.